103.7 to beat your boy, Big Rob, the fat guy at the station. I am here again with another edition from Health West. And Stephanie, our dear friend, Stephanie has brought in some other great people, like she always does, to talk to us about some things that Health West is a part of. Now, it's a crisis intervention team, if I'm saying that correctly.
Correct.
And we have Bruce Morningstar, Officer Bruce Morningstar, unless there's a title in front of that. Okay, it's good. Okay. And we have Heather.
Yes.
Right?
That's
Am I correct on that?
You are.
Okay. Tell us about the crisis intervention team. Heather's going to do most of the talking this time, y'all. Bruce said yes. He just wanted to sit back and do officer stuff. So he's got some reports he's writing while Heather's going to be talking. Hi, Heather. How you doing?
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
I'm Heather Wiegand. I'm a clinical manager at Health West.
Mm-hmm.
And there I oversee the Correctional Services Unit. And part of that is the Crisis Intervention Team program that we have going on here in Muskegon County. So I'm here to, with Bruce, talk to you about what is CIT and what's happening in Muskegon as a result.
Okay. Now, what is the Crisis Intervention Team?
Okay. I'm so proud of you, actually, for making sure that you're saying it that way, because as we get into this, you'll see that people struggle with that.
Yes.
Calling it a team, a crisis intervention team. So CIT here in Muskegon, we have elected to use this model, and we're following the CIT International efficacy-based model. And what CIT is it's a culture, it's a process in a county or community to change and make more effective the crisis response system in a community.
Are we talking about people with mental health issues that we've seen in the news, or what type of crisis are we talking about?
That's a great question. This would be any person experiencing a behavioral health crisis. So certainly it will include people who are experiencing mental illness, who have formal diagnosis, or maybe not yet.
Mm-hmm.
It will include people who are struggling with substance use disorder. But it's going to include anyone experiencing a crisis, even if they don't have a diagnosis in either of those areas.
Okay. Officer Bruce, what is your role in the crisis intervention team?
I'm just a small part of this whole big picture.
Okay.
And so I help Heather. We kind of got into this together. It started kind of small, and now it's grown quite a bit. And so I started out as the law enforcement liaison for the program, and we helped develop training for law enforcement officers and others in the community on how to respond to situations where people are in crisis.
Oh, okay. Good. We're going to get back to you, but Heather's going to do most of the talking, and hopefully I'll get through these questions.
Okay.
I, you know, was demanded that I had to ask
by
somebody we all know. how has this been received by the general community? The general community, and then I want the same question to you, Officer Bruce, law enforcement.
Okay.
Same question.
General community, I think, is a slow rollout. The general community is learning what is a CIT. We started this with businesses, neighborhood associations, persons who would be impacted by folks who are experiencing or have observation of people who are experiencing crisis. So apartment complexes, local gas stations. So when we talk about general community, we're talking about those folks at our initial level. And so being here today helps us to start pushing this out to what we would refer to as everyone in a general community.
Okay, law enforcement side of the same question.
So when we started this program, we actually brought this forward to what's called the COPS Board in Muskegon County, the Chiefs of Police.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a board, and it consists of all law enforcement leaders in Muskegon County. And we kind of proposed to them what we wanted to do, and we got immediate buy-in. We know that this is a problem kind of across the country about how these things unfold sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can train officers how to better handle those situations, it's a win for everybody. And so... I think that a lot of times when people look at these types of programs, they look at it like it's a law enforcement problem in responding to these types of situations. But really, that's just the visible face of a bigger problem that, that happens within the community. And so what we tend to see is that, you know, the news often puts it on law enforcement as they didn't respond properly. But a lot of times it has a lot to do with more the overall system within the community. And that's kind of the beauty of this program is it's not about just training law enforcement. It's about training law enforcement and then having a system that can kind of be a safety net for people that we can kind of hand off, do a kind of a warm handoff to a system that actually works within the community. And so we've got, you know, certainly there's been some growing pains that along the way.
Right.
We certainly realize as we continue to work together, there are a lot of needs in the community, and trying to address those needs and trying to build this to be a successful team rather than just law enforcement training. It's not just about law enforcement training.
Why do you have a passion about this?
I guess
you being a police officer and all.
Yeah, I guess just due to the number of calls we receive like this, mm-hmm. and seeing people in crisis. I don't know. I think that sometimes if we can just address some of the underlying issues that are mm-hmm. causing people to be in crisis, whatever those unmet needs are, mm-hmm. That we can try to resolve those, and it's just better for the community. And so. I haven't, until I started being a police officer, I didn't have a lot of experience with people that were involved in crisis.
Right.
But certainly as a police officer, I see that on a daily basis.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm quite sure you do. Once trust is built, mental health crisis calls could increase exceptionally. This program equipped to handle that increase?
So that is a great comment because we've definitely experienced that. You know, when we first started this project, an element of our crisis intervention team program is what we call CIT referrals. What that means is any police officer or first responder in our community, when they encounter someone having a behavioral health crisis, they can send an electronic referral directly to Health West. And there's a process in which we disposition those. Certainly in our first year of receiving those, exponentially, we saw a huge increase in the number of persons who are experiencing mental health concerns, substance use disorder, and other crises that we didn't know were out there. Because police were routinely going to these calls, but they would take care of the call in that moment, and they would leave, and they would be called back, and again, and again, and again. But once we started to get these referrals to Health West and mm-hmm. start working together, now we have a process where we can together get those people to the right door for the right care, and we're seeing less and less repeat calls to a number of them.
Now, how will this effort continue to be funded?
Right now we're funded through some grants that we have. We will continue to seek grant funding, but right now a good portion of our team is getting together at the leadership level of organizations to start talking through what does sustainability look like. You know, some CIT programs across our country have sponsorships from businesses and major corporations. Some have private donors. Some are funded through their municipalities. There's a variety of ways that people have funded their programs and sustained them long term. So we're looking at every possibility as to what that might look like.
Oh, that's good. How can this effort be brought into other communities?
Well, one of the ways that we're helping to bring it into other communities, as each community brings on this type of process, we have a network started. So Bruce and I actually took our CIT training in Calhoun County through Summit Point and the police partnerships that they have there. And now we've helped to support Ottawa County with the program that they're building, Oceania, Mason, and Lake communities have started a CIT. We've been able to help there. And so it just keeps growing because one community is supporting the next is supporting the next. Michigan actually has some gold standard CIT programs in the Detroit area and now Calhoun County. They have gold standard certifications through CIT International.
With blacks being disproportionately impacted by the legal system, how does this effort specifically impact the minorities?
That is also a great question. We're trying to learn more and more how we can bring that particular topic into the fold. But one of the ways that we do that is from real conversations, not being afraid to bring up the tough questions or the tough comments during CIT training. It can get intense with some of it. And part of CIT training, it's a 40-hour training that police officers and first responders come to. First of all, that's a huge commitment for them to make. But we have a panel that comes in. These are persons with lived experience. And so we have individuals of every race, every culture, every background, rather that's mental health, substance use disorder, or otherwise. And they tell their stories, including what their encounters with law enforcement have been. Positive, sometimes not so positive. So that we can work together to learn from persons of lived experience, and particularly people of color, so that we can learn how to bridge those gaps.
Now, is this a program that if the police arrive, and I don't know which one of you guys could take this, if the police arrive, like I saw an incident on TV where a guy, he was going through a mental health crisis, and he had a knife, and police shot him, okay? Is this that type of program that they have been incorporating with some police departments across the United States to where a crisis person who's trained in dealing with, I'm trying to use the right terminology, so my uns, y'all excuse me, would intervene along with the police department, or is this what that is, or is this, hey, police arrive, hey, we think this person needs to see you guys?
So there's a variety of methods of response. The first thing is, and we'll let Bruce take care of this a little further in a minute, but the training that law enforcement is doing, the commitment that our law enforcement communities have made to this process means the officer showing up to that scene has a lot more tools in their tool belt to try to manage that situation.
Okay.
However, we strongly emphasize they never lose their tactical training. Their tactical training has to be first. We want every officer going home to their family, right? In that said, there's a lot of ways we can respond. The officer can show up to scene. They can report back to dispatch. They'd like the mobile crisis team from Healthwest to go to scene.
Okay.
There, in some situations, we now are expanding our services, and we have clinicians that are embedded in the Muskegon Heights Police Department. Just this week, we started with one at the City of Muskegon Police Department, and we have a couple candidates that we're looking at for the Norton Shores Police Department. So now those individuals can ride right along with the officer right to the scene, and they can work together to understand, is there a way for them to support that individual? But remember, if this person has a weapon, that officer is definitely leading that scene and helping to guide how we take our steps.
Even if the person has mental health issues?
Correct.
Okay.
We have to make sure that we remedy the situation in the safest way possible. And as a clinician, I'm not equipped to do that necessarily with someone who has a weapon in their hands. But working together, we now have compounded training that we can more likely have some influence in that situation.
Okay. Law enforcement side. Officer Bruce.
I can add much more to explain that. I mean, she explained it really well because, you know, really it is kind of this, the magic happens when we work together and we see how each other handles these types of situations. And so very often I am hearing the mental health professionals talk in a way and I'm like, I'm going to steal that and I'm going to use that. If they're not right there with me,
right,
just by seeing them be effective out in the field by saying things in a certain way, I can use that the next time that I encounter a similar situation, and you know, I can deliver that information or that concept in the same way and have some success with it, and vice versa.
Yes.
Right.
I think a lot of our mental health professionals that have gone out into the field have never really considered safety issues, and so we're able to kind of help them understand that a little bit better also. And so we have a quite elaborate training program for both first responders and for also mental health professionals.
Okay.
Yeah, we just wrapped up that training today. We trained behavioral health professionals, DHS, had child welfare staff there. We had Healthwest staff there and others. We call it cop culture training. It's a 16-hour course that helps us understand that same scenario you talked about with this individual
yes.
wielding a knife. you know, in my career, I would have approached this person closer proximity than I am to you right now in an effort to talk to them. But now, understanding the risks involved in that and the tactical essence of me maybe being able to get that person to put the knife down in an effort to keep both of us safe, I keep my distance a little more clearly now than I would have before.
But I guess for me, I've seen it to where a mental health clinician, am I saying that right? Yeah. Mental health clinician could diffuse the situation a lot easier and a lot quicker than the police department. And that's the reason why I was asking, because I've seen programs where there's a clinician in the cruisers with the officers now, especially if it's a mental, if it seems like a mental health crisis. Now, they I've seen them where they keep their distance and things of that nature until the person is unarmed at that time.
Exactly.
You know, I see that. But the clinician, and if I'm not saying something right, just correct me. The clinician gets the person to get rid of the knife, or at least, you know, lay it down to where a police officer or, you know, a police officer could grab it. And now the clinician can even get even further, because that person may just needed a hug from a softer voice. You know,
what's interesting about what you're saying is, so far in the years we've been doing this now, that very situation has played out over and over. And we don't know for sure which one of those persons is going to have the most success. Truthfully, we've seen it happen both ways, where the clinician on scene or the behavioral health professional has been the person to have success in building rapport and making that happen. But I have also clearly witnessed to have to step back and let my law enforcement partner use their finesse and their training and get that done successfully, and everybody stays safe. And then together, we're working to get that person to the right door for the right care, including that hug, if that's what they need.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for coming by and sharing with us. I invite you guys back to let us know how the program is going and if anything the community can do to help. Any last words, Heather?
I would just say, if you find that you have questions more or would like to know and better understand this program, reach out to Health West.
What's
722-4357.
Officer Bruce?
No, we're always looking to expand the program, so if anybody's interested in taking part, please reach out to us.
All right. Well, thank you, Health West, for coming by. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time. Back to more music on 103.7 The Beat.